Well, hello everyone. Thank you for listening or watching. I'm going to preach out of 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. The Word of God says here, we'll read the entire chapter. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now therefore command you that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew humber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly, and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servant shall bring them down from Lebanon into the sea, unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there. And thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish thy desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, and as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two made a league together. And King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel. The levy was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at a time. And Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bare burdens, and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300 which were ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones, to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word, God. I just ask by your spirit that you would preach through me the great message of the cross, that people would believe again in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, they would just believe, and that they would rest. And that, Lord, you would continue that great work in their heart to do those things forever and ever. Amen. As we move into chapter 5, we see the preparation of Solomon starting to build the great temple that David could never do. Or not that David could never do. The Lord would not allow David to build his temple. And so chapter 5 begins the work in the beginning of this great work of building the temple. I titled this sermon, Food for My Household. And it'll be an important title, I think, because there's a lot of, this scripture is really about, when I look at it, is when I always look at scripture, I mean, ultimately, if you're honest with yourself, the question that you ask when you read scripture is, where do I fit in? What am I supposed to do? Now that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, now what? What is the next step? What is the next thing that you can do? And you can go to a church on any street corner, and they'll get you to start doing stuff. They'll get you to hand out water bottles and go down and do all kinds of things, purposely telling you that you're helping evangelize the Word of God. But I want to understand something here, that the Holy Spirit is the evangelist. The Holy Spirit is the preacher. The Holy Spirit is the prophet. The Holy Spirit is any work done on earth for the Lord, as the scripture is plainly bears from the beginning of the Bible to the end, is done by the Holy Spirit. That never in a time is there a baton passed between the Lord and his people, and certainly not between the Lord and the church, that they go out and they contain the Holy Spirit, and now whatever means or desires they do, there's something very sinisterly wrong, wickedly wrong, with the church's definition of what the Holy Spirit's role is. He's the reason the temple will be built, and he's the reason that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He's the reason why that every single prophecy that was ever foretold by any prophetic voice came to pass exactly as the Lord said it would that day when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And every prophetic word and everything ever spoken that was valid and of the Lord was through the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I bring that up is because it's oftentimes the believer wonders, what do I need to do? And oftentimes, how do I get the Holy Spirit moving in my life? And certainly in many of the Pentecostal realms of the church, it's just gotten nutty to the point where it's almost like a idol ritual. It's almost like an incarnation where people activate or they do things and the Holy Spirit is there for them. Some of it had even gone to the fact that worship and the singing of the music is what brings in the Holy Spirit. I've heard it from numerous churches that, you know, they have to worship. You have to worship before you preach because that worship starts the anointing. Let me explain something to you, and I want to be very clear. The Holy Spirit doesn't need you to do anything to get him started. He started everything. So you need to be careful, and we all need to be careful, and I preach to myself. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and him operating, the Holy Spirit was promised, okay? That means the Lord promised that he would send the Comforter. And the Lord, when he promises something, his promise comes true. And so when Jesus died and he left his disciples and he went and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit did come, as we know, at the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Holy Spirit is here. He's operating. He's still doing what he has done since the beginning of time. And that is try to produce faith in Jesus Christ and crucified. From the beginning of time, there has only been one that has the power, the ability, the authority to take the stone heart of man and soften it to receive the message of Jesus Christ's perfect work on the cross. It is by no oratory skill, it is by no vocabulary, it is by no experience, it is by no practice that a person will hear another person and believe in what Jesus has done at the cross. It is by the Holy Spirit. And so when we move into a church age that we live in today, where how the message is presented and how it is given is become so prominent because they've made evangelism into what it is now, a profession and a skill, instead of what it was, it's always been, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift of the Holy Spirit does not mean that it comes one time and a person evangelizes, mean that they are now set the course to be the evangelist of all. It just simply means that sometimes that gift of evangelism came at that one time that even the cowardly of people might have shared their belief in what Christ did at the cross. And there's also this concept that it's every duty of every believer to go to the ends of the earth and preach to everybody. You just don't see scriptural proof of that. And there are people that will be ushered into the portals of heaven and simply sat in the most inobscure, solitary place possible on the planet, and all they did is they believed. Because we have to understand that believing is enough. And that Holy Spirit simplifies the message, he simplifies what the role is. He simplifies what the need of the time is. It's always based upon the person believing what Christ did at the cross. The Temple of Solomon was built for people to believe in what Christ did at the cross. The Lord promised the temple. He promised David that there would be one that would come. And Solomon was raised up. And everything that's going to happen from this chapter on, of the entire building of the temple, just like the tabernacle, was by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the reason why I want to bring all this up is that Hiram is an interesting individual, because Hiram is a king of another land. And Hiram, it says here in verse 1, king of Tyre sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. So I want to start there. He hears of the anointing of Solomon, and it typifies the fact of the gospel. The gospel he heard from his servants. He sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed the king. So the message of the anointing of Solomon is really the type of the message of the cross. It was the anointed one had come, and the anointed one was going to do a work. And in this picture of Solomon building the temple, as the power of the Holy Spirit, it typifies the temple that Christ would build, which is the temple in us, which is giving his body as a sacrifice, and we and him become one in death on the cross. And so it typifies that Solomon was the one who would do this work. And the Lord would only do this work through Solomon. And Hiram hears, and I want to bring that up, he hears that they had anointed Solomon, and he sent servants. So how is anybody going to ever understand this? However Hiram heard the message, it was enough. And it wasn't because some great orator came to hear him. It wasn't because Israel sent out a well-educated scholarly individual to Hiram. The message came by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how that message got to Hiram and who said it, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, the Lord gave Hiram a chance to hear the good news. And Hiram's heard the truth. The anointed one was there to build the temple. It's typified Hiram's faith in Jesus Christ and crucified to come. And it's a story, and it's a physical story that is teaching the spiritual truth of faith, the work of the Holy Spirit. For every grand thing done in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, the outcome, the result is for one thing, that people would believe. Because God does not have to prove himself to anybody. He doesn't have to make himself great and glorious for anybody to then go, oh, that's awesome, I better follow him. No, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. He works in a way that's much higher than us, that we never can understand. My point is that, friends, when you heard that it was faith in what Jesus did at the cross, you have to understand that the magnificent power of the Holy Spirit was there. And we live in a day and age that you cannot talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit unless there's some physical thing happening within the group of people. They have to be jumping, they have to be dancing, they have to be raising their hands, they have to be something. But my friends, I contend that the magnificent, awesome, dynamic, divine power that is the Holy Spirit came to Hiram's dirty set of ears one day as he sat on his human throne. His worthless throne, his dirty garbage kingdom throne that would eventually die and pass away, that only this Bible would contain the even history of him. But that nasty, dirty little throne, the Holy Spirit came there, and the message of Solomon's anointing and coming, he heard it. And that same way, the Holy Spirit will come to you. And the sun may not stand still, You may not see the water, great waters stand still. You may not see mountains crumble. You may not see a hole open up in the earth before your eyes. You may live the most quiet, mundane, domesticated, uninteresting life on earth. And that does not mean for one single minute that the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't in your life and in your heart and in your house. Because if you're hearing it, then blessed are you. If you hear it, that it's faith in what Christ did at the cross. And when I say hear, not just simply, yeah, I'm around it, but you hear and you believe it, then I don't care what is going on in your life. The power of the Holy Spirit makes men and women and children believe in someone greater than themselves. It makes them bow their proud heart to somebody who can actually save them. It forces them to acknowledge the good news that self was dead the day it was baptized in the death of Christ. That the Lord could find a way that your natural life could still be maintained, yet the representation of who you are and yourself could be made dead. That you could believe and die and yet live. And we know self is here. We know self doesn't go away. We know you hear it, you believe it. And the battle, ensuing battle against who you are, against your own flesh, is the daily pilgrimage and walk that the believer is burdened with. But the burden is light, because the burden is not carried by you. The burden is carried by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we allow Him to teach us, we shall be taught. If we allow Him to preach through us, we shall preach. If we allow Him to show us the cross, we'll see it. Because the power and anointing is His, and the work is His. And you and I are a workmanship in process. But it's not a workmanship that many churches teach, where you're being refined and molded into this righteous, glowing thing for everybody to see. It's a workmanship of faith that He's refining you like gold to where you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. The grace and knowledge, the knowledge that it is all by His grace. Grace is absolute. It's not partial. It's not a little bit God, a little bit you. It's all God. It is all God. Hiram didn't seek Solomon. Hiram didn't, out of exhaustive study, go run to seek Solomon. The Holy Spirit had to tell him the message. And when he heard the message, he rejoiced, the scripture says, greatly. He immediately sent servants to Solomon. He immediately knew, because the Holy Spirit had opened his eyes and he saw this was the one. This was the one that was going to do the work that no other could. A type of Christ on the cross. One would build a temple that was like no other temple before it and no other temple after it would ever replicate. What Solomon, the Lord did through Solomon that day, that temple could never be replicated in today's day and age. The amount of gold, the amount of workmanship, the amount of intricacy and time, you couldn't replicate what he did. And it's a type that what Jesus Christ did on the cross could never be replicated. It was a temple built for eternity. one which anyone could enter if they would hear and they would believe. And we hear as Solomon says to King Hiram, "You knew that my David, my father, could not build a house in the name of the Lord for the wars which you were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent." So what Solomon is saying here is what Jesus Christ said. "Come unto me and you will find rest." There is no adversary, no evil occurrent. That on every side of the belief in what Christ did at the cross, there is rest on every side. Why? Because you're put into the rest. The rest was Christ, and we were baptized into the Christ in death. Therefore, our soul joined with the Lord in spirit. That on every side, there's no everything around Solomon that was a threat to David. The Lord, it says, God says, the Lord gave rest to him on every side. I don't know about you, but I could use some rest. And I'm not talking physical. I'm talking just the way that I look. As my fleshly eyes look to the left and I look to the right, I look and I hear things and I read things. In the world of turmoil and discourse, in the world where no one knows the direction we're going, but it's like we're just lemurs running to the cliff to ready to plunge off. In a world that has no direction and has no truth, amidst all of it, the Lord has made rest. It is still well with my soul. That though the flesh may experience pain, though the flesh may be experiencing anguish, though in the flesh you experience depression and anxiety and fear and doubt, with the soul there is rest. For one day I know I have to close my eyes in death. And the greatest unknown I've ever had, and the greatest fear that I ever have in life is death. To know that there will be rest. To know that you can close your eyes and this world will be behind you forever. And your soul escorted to a place where righteousness reigns, where sin cannot touch, where man cannot destroy it. To have that rest now, to know this, and have it in a promise from the greatest authority of the entire universe, my friends, is a beautiful thing. And I didn't get that because I did anything. I knew it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the message is about the rest that God did. The rest that God made through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And so Solomon's telling Hiram the gospel. He's saying, I purpose to build a house in the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spoke unto David my father, thy son, whom I will set upon the throne of thy throne, he shall build a house under my name. So Solomon is saying that it's not me. I'm just not a guy with purpose in my life. I'm not a purpose-driven guy that just wants to do something great for God. He's something that was spoken by the Lord to him. And he's stating the claim that what he wants to do is the Lord's will. And not his own. For Solomon had been left to his own will. And I say that, some people may say, well, is the Lord taking over Solomon's will? No, he's not. But I got to explain something to you, that there's no definition and formula on why a person does what the Lord wants them to do and why someone else doesn't. And there are things that we leave to the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know that whatever He did, however it happened, we see that Solomon yielded to the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. But as I've said before, we also know, if you read ahead, Solomon will reject it and turn unto the idols of his wives. So I don't know how that happens either, but all I know is it happens. And so we walk in this strange thing where we don't know the danger of ourselves. We don't know the danger of what's around us. We are so completely dependent upon the Lord to walk us to heaven, which is exactly what I believe the scriptures are always showing us. Because the moment you look at Solomon and say, you know what, I'm going to go do something great for God like he did, good luck. Because if it wasn't by the word of the Lord, all that you will do is accomplish something on earth that will be regarded as a falsehood. It'll be regarded as a lie. And my friends, we have to understand, the church of our day lives in a complete lie. And the lie is that you come hear the message of the cross, if they even preach it, but then your entire duty from that point on is to serve the church. Your entire duty is at that point in time to give all your time and effort to the church. And let me say something. Unless the Holy Spirit's inspired that in within an individual, if it's not from the Holy Spirit, then all you've accomplished is religion. And it's a scary thing, because most people would look at anybody that is purposely, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to church. What I'm saying is that the message that church preaches, if it's asking its people to do anything other than believe in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross, then I wonder if they're even a church at all. Or is it just a place, a meeting place for men and women to get together, to get excited, to get emotional, do some things around? It's such a strange area there, and it's hard because you spend so much time going to church, and all of a sudden you stop, and you wonder sometimes, am I totally off the mark? Am I off track? But that's what the word of God is for, is to understand that it's not all of, when it talks of serving, you have to remember that there was one servant of God, and that was Jesus Christ. And we must believe in him, that he did the work God sent him to do, and that was to die perfect. And when you begin to say that the Lord's telling me to do more than just believe in that, just make sure that what you're doing aligns with the Word of God, in the sense that, is this about the message and the promise that God gave? Because if it's just religious work and taking up time doing religious things, then I wonder, is it the same Spirit that we would call the Holy Spirit? Because whatever is done, it must be by his power, or it has no power. And you may say, well, now I'm totally a little bit weird, scared here on what I'm supposed to be doing. Awesome. Fantastic. You see, he's given you rest, okay? So it's you don't have to worry about what the Lord will do through you. Because if you live the rest of your life, as I said, and believe and make it to heaven, he did a work in you. So the awesome thing about the Word of God is that it's a time that you relax and rest. And if there is work to be done, my friends, the power of the Holy Spirit will do that. And I'm going to get here an awesome point, because this really was terrific for me. It says here, I'm going to jump ahead here into verse 9. And it says here, my servant shall bring them down. He's talking about that he's accepted everything that Solomon has asked him to do in bringing down the cedars and the timber and the fir. And he says here in verse 9, this really touched me. It says, my servant shall bring them down from Lebanon into the sea, and I will convey them by sea and floats into the place that thou shalt appoint me, and will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire. Now listen to what he says, in giving food for my household. And this little piece of scripture hidden in this book was just, it just opened my eyes, because if you think about what Hiram is saying here, this is not a natural need. It's not, King Hiram is a king. His household rules over his lands. There is no evidence in scripture that Hiram was poor, that he had nothing, that he was struggling as a nation to feed his family and his people. This is a physical description of a spiritual need and a spiritual truth that came and was given to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because what Hiram is saying in giving food for my household, he's giving trees, he's giving everything. And you got to understand something. The Lord did not need Hiram. The Lord could have built Solomon's temple with ants. He could have built Solomon's temple with hedgehogs. He could have done it any way he wanted to. He gave Hiram an opportunity to believe and be a part of this great workmanship that was about to take place, which I want to tie it into you, because you're not going to maybe build a temple for God. You may not build anything for God physically, but it's okay, because it talks about the production or the producing of faith in Hiram's life. He was excited. He believed in Solomon. He would give anything. And in his return, he wants to be fed. And I thought it was amazing what he says there, because I don't believe this came from man. I don't believe this came from his own inner acumen. This came from the power of the Holy Spirit. What he's saying, in giving food for my household. And it says, so Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees, fir trees, according to all his desire. And it says, and Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. So you go, well, okay, what does that mean, Evan? What it means is that the wheat is a type of Christ. It's a type of the message. It is the wheat represents Christ. And the fact that the wheat would be grinded through the stones and the stone press of God's wrath, and they would grind out that perfect, fine, beautiful flour, which is typified of the purity of Jesus Christ on the cross. It also typifies the purity that would come to the believer. Once the believer believes in what Jesus has done at the cross, he is made pure, he is sanctified, he is made righteous, and he is made whole, no matter what condition his life is at that time. It is done by faith. And the Lord is saying that in the natural you may not be this, but one day the promise is, the natural will pass, and then there will be a spiritual life forever. So we look at the wheat and we look at the pure oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. And what Hiram is saying when he's asking and giving food for my household, he is not talking about a simple physical need. It's talking about spiritual need in order to grow and to continue to believe in what Christ has done at the cross. And though I'm here to you to tell you that the promise of the Lord does not change to anybody, place, or thing. He is going to give you the message of the cross, and he is giving you the Holy Spirit, because he promised he would. whether you do gymnastics, religious gymnastics or not, whether you do any kind of miraculous thing or effort or gather people to get people together to do stuff, nothing. The reason why somebody is gifted with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is because they believed in the promise. The church is running around trying to activate what was already promised them. I've heard it so many times. The worship guys, they'll get up on there with their guitars and everything and they'll strum. And let's just bring in the Holy Spirit. You don't bring him in. He was promised. If there was faith in what Christ did at the cross, he was promised to come. I think it's just amazing. I just need to pause it just for 1 second. Sorry for the delay. The amazing thing, I want to get back to what I was talking about, but when you look at the giving of the wheat and the pure oil, what's the other reason why I want to say that this was not something that Hiram came of his own, because most kings of that time would have asked for weapons, they would ask for men, they would have asked for power, they would have asked for land, they would ask for something that would physically help them grow their kingdom and land on earth. But this request was one that showed that he believed, that he knew he needed to be fed by another, that his household would have to be fed by somebody greater than himself. And this really touched me, because for so long, in many years, I just thought I had to be the messenger to my own house. Like I was some mini Messiah that they're only going to get it because I'm strong and I'm a stalwart and I continuously teach and I continuously stop them and continuously correct them. And then, you know, I read this verse, and it was like the burden of having to think in my own foolishness and flesh that it was all up to me. I just realized what Hiram asked for was my desire as well. That, Lord, feed my household. It was beautiful because it was the burden. I realized that it was never about me. It was never about the way I talked or I acted or the role model that I was. It's the Holy Spirit. That desire of Hiram, the Lord will answer it. And that desire is not a desire of the flesh. It's a desire placed in by the Spirit. Lord, teach them what I can't teach. Lord, show them what I can't show. Preach, Lord, the message that no man is capable of preaching. I could just feel the weight. You just can't put a price on that. You can't. You can't put a value to knowing that the Lord has got it all under control. Why we think we can take over the ship, why we think that it's up to us somehow, it's just the curse of the flesh. And the curse is here. But praise be to God, he gave us a cure. That cure was faith. that we could believe. We could believe in the promise. He will feed our households. He'll feed it with the life of his work. He'll feed it with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we may not ever know. And possibly Aaron may have looked like a fool that day when he brought back wheat and oil. But as I mentioned, it was more than just a physical item. It was the truth of the believer believing in his Savior. It just takes a lot from the flesh and the pride to admit it needs another's work. It takes years. It takes years. And as I mentioned, it's been such a struggle for me, as it I'm sure it's been for many people, to take the message. And it's up to us, or it's up to somebody, or us to show it to our household. But perhaps this sermon's for me as much as anybody. I don't know, when I read it, I just never had that desire before. I think honestly, I've always wanted to be that to my family, to be this holy stanchion that they looked up to, and that everything godly would flow through me. It was wrong. It's just another thing that the Lord reveals in time. He shows you the wickedness of your flesh. You don't even know it. But when he does, glory to God. Glory to God. Because wherever the flesh is empowered, wherever the flesh gets its foothold, there is no rest. There is no rest for the wicked. And that moment when Hiram says that and accomplished my desire, food for my household, it just shows the picture that there are pictures in the Word of God of people that are depraved and have nothing. And here you have a man who had a kingdom, who had everything, who had servants and concubines and whatever going on in his land and kingdom at the time. But the need of his heart was the same, whether you're rich or poor. And that's what I see, this amazing power of the Holy Spirit. That there's people our flesh would look at and say they'll never receive the Holy Spirit. They'd never believe it. And it's on both sides of the spectrum. There's the destitute poor or the junkie that we would turn and say we'd waste your time. And then there's the prominent and rich of society. And both. No one's closer to God than in the other. It's just the amazing thing of the Holy Spirit that this king was humbled enough to know that he needed the Anointed One. He needed that work that Solomon was doing was greater than anything he had done in his life or was doing. Wheat for food to his household and 20 measures of pure oil, thus gave Solomon to hear him year after year. And there in verse 11, what's amazing is it talks about that this was not just a one-time deal. This was not one time. It says year after year. And that was amazing to me because it's a continual it's a continual giving. It's a continual part of the promise and the blessing. That this was not, hey, you get pumped with the Holy Spirit one time and that's it, man. Go out and do it. No, it was continuous. It was year after year. This was beautiful because it was something that was going to occur again and again. And it would have to occur again and again for Hiram to continue to believe. And what I want to help you with today is that it's continual. The promise continues to be rolled out to you year after year after year until finally you are with the Lord forever. I just hope that comforts you today. I hope that you would hear these words year after year and know that the Lord has got your back. He has the power to do it. To do what, Evan? For you to believe again. He has the power to let you hear this message. He has the power to bring you to Him. He has the power to give you what you need and feed your household with the message of the cross. You can say, I don't see it. It's not for that. You have to believe that He's doing it and that He will continue to do it. Because perception, human perception, is a deadly thing. Because to one person it may look like you don't do anything, that you're not even saved. To the other person it would look like you're the greatest, holiest person on the planet. That's why we cannot be tied to that. That's why the Word of God is always never about the perception of the flesh. It is about what the Lord says. It is always based upon the truth. That's what Jesus said, I'm going to the Father and He will send you the Spirit, and He will lead you to all truth. Will He lead you to do great things on this earth? Will He lead you to run a profitable business? No, that's not what the Lord said. He said, I will lead you to all truth. The truth being Christ and Him crucified. The truth being the promise given. He will lead you to that. And it will be year after year and continually will the Lord send the knowledge and the grace of Christ and Him crucified. Will He send the pure oil of the Holy Spirit to empower you to believe again? The story's not about a man finding his purpose. I've heard this story preached before and read it where Hiram found his purpose in life. No, it's about a man who believed in the cross of Christ. It's a story about the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It glorifies the work of Christ on the cross. It does not lift man up at all. Hiram's nothing. His kingdom is nothing. The trees in his land are not his own. The Lord's just gracefully allowed him to abide there. And if Hiram had said no, the Lord's wrath would have railed upon that nation. And if the Lord wanted the trees and the cedar, He would have gotten them Himself. This was an opportunity to believe. This was an opportunity for a proud king to bow down to the message of the cross. This was an opportunity for the Lord to show His wonder of softening the hardened heart of man. And for a king over a nation, for him to be so humble that he only asked for wheat and oil. He didn't ask for gold or the silver. The Solomon's empire was massive. The gold that he had was incredible. And when a man says, my desire is that you feed my household, you know that didn't come from any training on the earth. That didn't come from anything that was human. That was the divine power that we refer to as the Holy Spirit, who moves like the wind. Where he comes and where he goes, we don't know. And I don't know how he works, when he works, where he works, what he does. The Lord didn't tell me that. The Lord told me he would come. And I know that he came for a reason. To lead people to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was sent down to help people believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And how he accomplishes that, I don't know, because I'm not him. I'm not spiritual. I'm flesh and I'm blood and I'm bone. But the Lord said he would be sent. And I have this scripture. And I have this type here in the Old Testament. Here dropped into Kings. Where I think we see, we don't know what the oil does, but we know the oil was given. And I think it was wondrous to me, because the oil is it's the gift of God to a lost people. It's the gift of the Lord. That what did Hiram do? Why would he receive this? Because he believed. Because that wheat and that oil was not just for him selfishly to hold, but it was dispersed through his household that they would believe like he did. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My friends, you're given more than you could ever imagine. You've been handed something great year after year after year, and I think sadly and foolishly, to my own shame, I never appreciated it because I thought it was something else. But praise the Lord. Do you believe in what Christ did at the cross? The Comforter is with you. The rest is with you. The salvation of God is with you. Be not dismayed. The rest is all around you. The rest is all around you. Praise God. Lord, we thank you. Just thank you, Lord, that you never, ever quit on us. For if you did, surely, Lord, we'd be damned. Oh, Lord, just continue to touch people with the message of the cross. Continue to anoint. Continue to share the message, Lord, with whatever set of ears you've decided, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.